We're talking to Mike Ramirez with Alma Latina, a program here on WMUK. Welcome, Mike.
Good to be here.
You also are Assistant Director of Multicultural Affairs at Western Michigan University, and every year you all put on events Hispanic Heritage Month. Kicking that off will be the showing of the documentary Searching for Sugar Man, and that won the Academy Award for Best Documentary earlier this year. Tell us about that movie.
It's interesting. Last summer, I was reading an article in the Detroit Free Press about the Traverse City Film Festival, Michael Moore's Festival in Traverse City. And there was a film there that they were highlighting. It's a new film, out of the story of Sixto Rodriguez, who is a rocker from Detroit in the 1970s, who only released two albums and then sort of went into obscurity. And then he was rediscovered recently in 1998. And I thought it was just an interesting story about Sixto Rodriguez, a name that I had heard before.
What's interesting about his story is he had actually been discovered again in Australia.
That's great.
During the early 70s, right after he released two albums that didn't do very well, but he became very popular in Australia in the 70s. Then again in the late 1990s in South Africa, during the anti-apartheid period when apartheid was in effect there, he became very popular as a result of, I believe it was two fans who really wanted to find out if he was still alive. Some bootleg copies of his music had gotten into the country. Tell us a little bit about that. Well, and that's what the film focuses on.
Yeah, the gist of the film is the story of these Swedish filmmakers who are decided to, they had heard of in South Africa, this name was well-known, Sixto Rodriguez, and nobody knew what had happened to him. They listened to his music on the radio, and yet nobody knew where he was. And they decided to come to America to search for Sixto Rodriguez, and they found him in Detroit. They came, I think in 2000, it took about 4 years for this documentary to take place, and the story goes that he was quite reluctant to be a part of this film at the beginning. He took a lot of coaching and convincing from some of his family members that this was a good endeavor in terms of the film, but the documentary. These folks were working very hard to make the film. But I guess what caught my attention was that the film itself was that it just tells the story of this musician who never had commercial success in America, and yet, like you mentioned in your statement, in Australia in the late 70s, he had actually a couple of albums. One of them is Cold Fact, and people began to play in the late 70s some of his music, so everybody was, he toured Australia in the late 70s. And then in 1998, his music was very popular in South Africa, yet here in America, unbeknownst to him, that he was a star in South Africa, and particularly in South Africa. He was leading a life as a construction worker in Detroit all these years. He took time and went to get a master's degree from Wayne State University. So I thought it was, the way the story goes, it's a very simple, very down-to-earth gentleman, because he doesn't have a car. He walks pretty much everywhere. Doesn't have a telephone. Has a telephone that his daughter convinced him to get a phone, and doesn't have a TV.
Yeah, so he lives a very modest life.
Right.
The film is going to be shown on Wednesday, September 18th here at Western Michigan University's campus. It's really quite a treat. It's going to be free to be able to see this movie that did go on to win an Academy Award for Best Documentary. But this is just one of the highlights of many things, actually, that is going to be part of your month-long celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month. You're also going to have a film festival.
We do every year. I was going to say every year, but in every 2-3 years, we do have part of Hispanic Heritage Month, which is traditionally September 15th through October 15th. We take to make it longer, and we do events throughout October, and we go as late as early November. So I know in late October 22nd through the 24th, we are doing a what we call a Spanish Film Festival. And here's where we feature films from Spain or from Latin America or from Mexico, Argentina in some cases. And the films are in Spanish, but they're dubbed in English. And that's usually those films around, they're shown 6:30 to 8:30. And the place that we're looking at is room 2028 Brown Hall.
And these will also be free.
These will be free. We don't have the films on that yet, but they're going to be announced. It's quite popular. We have quite a turnout from our students in the Spanish department, students here on campus. Usually we get a great turnout for those films. They're great films. Usually the Department of Spanish help us pick the films, and then we announce that it's open, it's free, open to the public.
Then finally, one additional highlight of the month is also a special Day of the Dead festival. Tell us a little bit about that observance that takes place.
The Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead, is traditionally held November 1st and November 2nd. On campus, we've done it for at least the last 10 years, and I'm happy to say we were one of the first offices on campus and in a public place where we have an altar commemorating Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead. Traditionally, what we do is we have a public figure, and we have a picture of the public figure, and we do an altar. And the altar basically contains foods that he or she liked, and we have, like, there's a ceremony, like, you know, we have the water, and we have foods that they liked. And this holiday is traditionally from Mexico, but because of, you know, demographic changes, now pretty much every major museum in the United States has a Dia de los Muertos. And we here in Kalamazoo is probably one of the few in the public display in the library. I'll say we do this holiday at home, and we honor a person that passed away usually that year. If it's a child, we do it November 2nd. If it's an adult, November 1st, and we do an altar in the corner of the house, and we put the water and the picture of the deceased and all that. But it's a real neat holiday. And just,
so the public will be able to sample a little bit of this by seeing the altar at Waldo Library that should be up as of October.
We're looking at October 30th to November 1st, and it's going to be in room 3001, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we had a large turnout last year, and we invited everyone to come by and see this display.
Very good. Let's go back to talk a little bit about Sixto Rodriguez. There is something kind of interesting that you were telling me a little earlier, that you did your undergraduate years here at Western Michigan University. You've been the host, just to show how long you've been here, you've been the host of Alma Latina here at WMUK for about 33 years, I think you were just telling me. But you were an undergraduate here at Western Michigan University. And during your freshman year, you recall going to a local music store. And what did you see there?
Yeah, this was in my freshman year, coming out of Texas, out of former farm worker. And we sort of got together and we went to the local music store. And I ran across an album of Sixto Rodriguez, what obviously brought to my attention the name Rodriguez, Sixto Rodriguez. I said, he must be a musician. How come I never heard of him? Because obviously in the film, it tells he didn't have the commercial success. He never played in Kalamazoo, for example. His area was basically Detroit or Europe. So it sort of caught my attention. Little did I realize 40 years later, here I am, bringing a film about Sixto Rodriguez.
Very interesting. I know that for those people who are kind of unfamiliar with him, I believe the Rolling Stone had described him as an American folk protest musician. I know on your flyer you call him a Detroit rocker from the 1970s. He's actually in his early 70s now. And on his official website called sugarman.org, here's a description earlier this month. His defiant poetic lyrics on the trials and tribulations of life resonated so well with South Africans that he is often described as the soundtrack to the lives of an entire generation. In terms of popularity, he is regularly compared with the all-time great musical acts such as Bob Dylan, Elvis, and the Rolling Stones. Yeah. So sounds like he really resonated with the people in South Africa during a time when they felt quite oppressed.
The song Sugar Man, from what I read in the articles and the stories in the newspapers, sort of became like the anthem for the apartheid movement in South Africa. And here again, here in America, unfortunately, he didn't have the commercial success that he had in abroad, I guess, in Australia and then in South Africa.
Yeah. Talking about the different articles about him, it talks about really the Detroit Free Press was writing about really how he's quite a shy, quiet kind of guy. And in fact, actually, he didn't even show up actually for the Academy Awards. And his reasoning for that was that he didn't want to upstage the filmmakers. He just really kind of wanted to be in the background. And he sounds like a really kind of a humble, really a humble guy.
And from I saw it, 60 Minutes did a piece on him also. It is just, I was amazed also about his demeanor, very simple, very non-airs about anything in terms of what he's accomplished, obviously. And one of the things I think in Rolling Stone, I read that during the awards, he was asleep. He doesn't have a TV, so his daughter had to call him saying, "Hey, you won the documentary film, the Grammy."
Again, very modest, very humble. As we close, what would you hope that people would get by attending this showing, searching for Sugar Man, which apparently the title of that is a reference to a song on his debut album back in 1970. There was a song on there called Sugar Man, and the album was called Cold Fact. What do you hope that people will get out of this film?
Well, anytime we show a film or we do an event, Hispanic Heritage Month, hopefully that we learn something about the Latino culture, Hispanic culture. And here's a man that obviously, as we say, pure Michigan, born and raised in Detroit, Mexican-American, who you know, has an extraordinary life and is obviously contributing to our society, to our music. And I guess we learn to appreciate more. And in terms of different types of music and about Latin music and just the whole story. I thought it was just very, very interesting that Sixto Rodriguez was able to, the film about him, just what a great contribution, you know, the story of, you know, this is a great story about Detroit, a very positive story.
And what's interesting further about that is, like you say, he used to be in the construction business due to kind of the resurgence of the popularity of his music now because of this movie. You know, he's gone from playing venues, very small venues, let's say 190-seat venues. Now he's been able to book an 18,000-seat venue in Brooklyn, New York, Barclays Center. So he's really quite moving up in the world. And by you showing his film on September 18th, this will bring more appreciation to his music. Mike, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. And I just want to add one final thing, that the film is sponsored by the Division of Multicultural Affairs and the College Assisted Migrant Program. It's free, open to the public. Wednesday, September 18th, 6 to 8 p.m. Thank you.